Blog Talk Radio.
Take the bass line out. Here we go. Let it bump. Driving some of the hottest cars New York has ever seen. For dropping some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard. From the dope spot with the smoke block, singing the murder scene. You know me well from nightmares of a lonely cell. My only hell, but since when y'all niggas know me to fail? Fuck nah, we all my niggas with the rubber grip. Bust shots, and if you with me, mama, rubbing your tits. And whatnot, I'm from the school of the hard knock. We must not let outsiders violate our block. And my plot, let's take up the world and split it 50-50. Let's take the dough and stay real jiggy. Let's sip the Chris and get pissy-pissy. Flow infinitely like the memory of my nigga Biggie. Baby, you know it's hell when I come through. The life and times of Sean Carter, nigga, volume 2. Y'all niggas get ready. Niggas locked down in a 10x4, controlling the house. We live in hard knocks. We don't take over, we ball blocks. Burn them down and you can have it back, daddy. I'd rather that. I float for chicks wishing they ain't have to strip to pay tuition. I see your vision, mama. I put my money on the long shots. All my ballers that's born the clock. No one will be on top, whether I perform or not. I went from lukewarm to hot. Sleeping on batons and cots, the king size. Green machines, the green fives, the steam pies. Let the thing between my eyes analyze life's ills. Then I put it down tight grill. I'm tight grill with the phony rappers. Y'all might feel we homies. I'm like still, y'all don't know me. Shit, I'm tight grill. When my situation ain't improving, I'm trying to murder everything moving. Feel me? Gotta eat, stay on my toes. Got a lot of beef, so logically, I pray on my foes. Hustle's still inside of me. And as far as progress, you'd be hard-pressed to find another rapper hot as me. I gave you prophecy on my first joint, and y'all all lamed out. Didn't really appreciate it till the second one came out. So I stretched the game out, etched your name out, put Jigger on top, and drop albums non-stop for you, nigga.
Welcome to another episode of Tabletop with T. And sorry we couldn't be here last week. We were trying to figure out some things with Blog Talk Radio, but it still didn't get resolved as to what happened to the previous show. So I hope everybody's doing good tonight. Ronan, you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, that's what's up. Why Jamal talking about he got to install his Rosetta Stone? What you talking about? Because people in the chat room speaking different languages. I got French going on in the chat room. So anyway, we're here to talk about, you know, a wide range of topics tonight. The most craziest thing that's been going on is that there's been a lot of these videos out with teachers, getting into it with students and fighting. As of, I believe this other video, I don't know if you've seen it yet, it was a black girl who had gotten to it with the male substitute white teacher. Did you see that one? He picked up the desk and threw it at her.
I didn't see that part, but I just started looking at it. Throwing desks.
No, he grabbed the desk and was like chucking it at her, like trying to get her, because she was handling them. I mean, I'm like, damn, these are some big kids. She's 13, and she dang at his height and size. And, I mean, she was going at him like a man. And so, you know, they started fighting or whatever, but he ended up grabbing the chair like he picked up the desk. And he was, like, literally, like, flinching at her, like, trying to get her to back up off of him. It was a crazy video. And then we saw the one with the Mexican girl and the black teacher. They got up into it, and I had did the video on that. And that one pissed me off just for the fact of, you know, when it came out, it was all behind makeup. And then just to hear her grandmother and her mother sit here and try and coddle to her and make excuses for her behavior. You know, and that's the unfortunate part. Yeah, you have a lot of these kids who are off the chain, but you got to ask yourself, where are they learning it from? You know, she didn't just wake up one night with that entitlement attitude.
It's being taught at home and it's being fostered in school and everywhere else. So it really is just showing a glaring problem in the homes and the communities abroad. It's just one of the, I mean, again, the school, nowadays the schools are just like places of miseducation nowadays. You know, they're not really teaching the kids anything worthwhile. Too busy trying to, you know, hook up with them or everything else. It just shows a completely glaring problem among many as to why what happens when you start removing concerned parents, shaming, and actually concerned about the children's future.
Right, but do you think though? Because I know a lot of people. A lot of teachers feel frustrated because I have friends who were in the teaching profession. Like I had a friend who taught second grade. I also had a friend who was a junior high teacher. And she was teaching like junior high school kids. I want to say between like 8th and 9th grade when she was like 32, 33. And mind you, she's very pretty, you know, didn't look her age. So she had to always do it like a little, like the dudes coming at her, like straight up trying to holler at her in the hallway, you know, but still maintaining like a professional demeanor. But I remember when I used to listen to them talk, they're like, you know, there's just no respect there. There is nothing. And I remember being a kid, it was like, you know, the stuff I see now, granted we see more now because, you know, people recording stuff on cell phone camera. But I just don't remember like that, just that blatant disrespect. Like, I don't remember that. You know what I'm saying? I remember being scared of my teachers. Like, my teachers were like my parents, especially in elementary school. There was no talking back to my teacher. And if my teacher had to call my parents, I was going to get it when I got home. But now it's like there's no fear. Like, these kids, they don't care. They teach, they treat these teachers like one of their peers or like just somebody walking down the street. Like, there's literally, like, no respect factor, period.
No, there isn't. Not for others, not for themselves. Nowhere. So you have these kids lashing out. You know, they again, like back then, like we were taught, like to respect yourself and others. You know, you had the occasional fight in school with kids, and you had that random bebe out there, you know, swinging at the teacher, and they got expelled or whatever. But now this is all too commonplace. And plus you don't have that many concerned parents or really any serious parents out there to really back the teachers up or actually support their kids. So this is what you get, and it's going to get, unfortunately, make it worse before it gets a lot better, if at all.
All right. And so Lacey's saying that her first grade teacher was from Panama, and she used to beat them with the ruler that was taller than the kids. And that was another thing back then, too, is I think a lot of teachers in schools were allowed to use corporal punishment. Because I remember my guy was telling me when he was going to school in Chicago, they were allowed to whoop the kids in the schools in Chicago. And I'm like, damn, where did you go to school, in the 60s?
Yeah.
And I mean, we damn near the same thing. Like, I don't remember teachers being allowed to hit us in the '80s, but I guess it all depended, you know, it depended on the school that you went to. Because I know a lot of southern schools, they had paddles and stuff like that, and they still do to this day. But we didn't have corporal punishment in our school. But like I said, it was just a respect factor, and you know, you could be reprimanded, you'd be in trouble. They just didn't play that. And like you said, parents were more concerned. I think now because a lot of the parents are younger, they're more about, you know, kicking it. They don't really want to be bothered. They feel like when they send their kids to school, like the school is the babysitter. It's the school's job to, you know, take care of the child, discipline the child. They don't want to hear nothing, you know, which is really unfortunate. And it starts at a really young age. I remember when I went to my youngest son's conference, and the teacher was telling me at that time, she was like, you know, I really enjoy having your son in class. She was like, he is very respectful, and she tends to use him as an example for the other boys. Because she said, we have a lot more boys in this class this year, and they're very rambunctious. She was like, so a lot of times I have to tell the other boys, you know, you need to act like Tay. You see how Tay's standing there quiet? You see how Tay's not running the hallway? And I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, for real? I said, because, you know, he can be kind of off the chain at home because he's the youngest. So, you know, he likes to bounce off walls and stuff. But she was like, I can tell the difference that, you know, that you really work with him and you don't allow him, whatever he does at home, he don't show out in school. And I said, well, they're only in first grade. I mean, I don't understand how much trouble they're getting into in the first. She said, you'd be shocked. She was like, a lot of them, they'll run in and out the classroom. They'll just get up and walk out. They'll talk back to you. You know, you tell them to share. They want to, you know, complain. She said they just get so hyper. And she said she's been seeing it younger and younger because she's been teaching for like 20 years. She's like, a lot of the issues that she's seeing now with first graders was stuff that you wouldn't see until like fourth and fifth grade. And I'm like, that's crazy, you know, because I don't understand, like, you know, being that young and thinking that you can tell an adult what you're gonna do and what you're not gonna do. I don't get that at all.
No, that's news to me. Once we tried that, sometimes we would have those random visits from random parents that they'll walk by the hallway, you'll see them in the window, and people act like they're doing homework. Or, you know, when they did get in trouble, they did have corporal punishment where, you know, the principal either got us or, well, my mom specifically told me, like, call them. They'll take time off of work, and, you know, that's when I got them tag team ass whooping. So things changed after that. So now you just, like, figure, well, my mom ain't going to do nothing. You know, my daddy ain't going to do nothing. Or it's always something, and you can't really argue it because it's not happening at the home or school. So it seems like if the parents don't care, it seems like the school don't care. And all this is falling out.
Right, and Excel ATL is making a really good point in the chat room. She's saying that a lot of teachers go through so much for such little pay, especially once again to high school gets progressively worse. And I agree with that. And I remember not knowing, like, I remember always hearing teachers saying, like, you know, we don't get paid enough to deal with this mess. But I didn't understand it because as a kid, you just assume you got a job, you make it for money. You got a car, you got to have money, you know. But as I got older and I realized how much these teachers are getting paid, you know, $10, $12 an hour, I'm like, what? For sitting and having to deal with kids all day, that's what daycare providers make, you know, $10 to $12. And all you're doing is sitting there watching a baby who can't even talk. But you got somebody who's like literally holds the future in their hands and they're getting paid that little bit of money. And I think that's where some of the frustration comes from, is because they're not getting paid a lot. So some of them feel like, you know what, if we're not getting paid anything and these kids don't respect us, the parents aren't involved, who cares? And that's when a lot of teachers start to get discouraged because my friend, the one who taught second grade, she said by the time she was into her third year of teaching, she couldn't take it anymore. She was like, she was barely making enough money. A lot of the parents wouldn't help out with the supplies needed for the classroom. It was a lot. Then you had to deal with the attitudes of the students. You had to deal with the parents coming up there trying to fight the teachers. She said it just got to be too stressful, so she stopped teaching and she ended up going into finance and customer service, but her degree was in teaching, and I think a lot of good teachers end up quitting after a few years because they get so frustrated with all the nonsense they have to endure, which is just really, really unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. Ain't much we can really say if we're not even looking to make a difference.
Right, and so Lacey's saying that she knows in high school it's worse. She saw kids cussing out teachers and everything else, and I saw that too. I mean, you would see, like, students straight up stepping up to the teachers, ready to fight them, and, you know, but it's just sad that it's getting younger and younger, and especially, you know, just the lack of respect. I just can't imagine just cussing my teacher out the way that Mexican girl cussed out her teacher. I mean, she was just, like, going off on her, and, you know, how dare you hang up on my mother as if she had the right to even use her phone in class. You know, just the whole entitlement issue was just sitting and watching that video. You know, and I had to give the teacher props. Like, I mean, she rocked her because that was a big girl, and it's like she was handling the teacher at first, but the teacher had to let her know, I'm grown, and I will whoop your little 14-year-old ass, and that's exactly what she did. She put it on her. They both fell to the ground, you know, and it was just unfortunate because, you know, them kids have to see that. You know, the whole situation is just nuts. It's like people just don't care anymore. You know, so many stories I hear, just people just not, you know, not caring, and it trickles down. So there's some more things going on. I don't know if you guys have heard in the chat room. I just did a video on that, just uploaded onto YouTube. Lil Wayne finally apologized to the Emmett Till family. Did any of you guys hear about that or see his apology yet?
I heard about it.
What did you think about the apology?
It wasn't sincere. It's probably threat to his money or losing a sponsor or something like that. But, again, it took this long to actually do it. Or really, before he even wrote the lyric, you know, they had these, like, stop gaps, and they approved that nonsense, and they went with it. So,
right.
Just full of shit.
Right, and that's what I was saying in my video, because it seems very convenient that once they were threatening Mountain Dew, because that's one of his biggest sponsors, once Mountain Dew got threatened, you know, with people not doing the Dew anymore, it's like, hold up, we already got this controversy with Tyler, the Creator, and Odd Future, you know, now there's this whole controversy with Lil Wayne, somebody got to do something. You know, and I just, even reading his apology, it didn't sound like the words of Lil Wayne, you know, not saying that he's just an idiot and he's never, you know, he can't articulate himself. I don't know him personally, but just from reading that, it didn't come off as sincere. It seemed like something that a publicist would write. It also seemed like something that somebody, you know, in his camp would write, like his lawyer or a producer, you know, just somebody other than Wayne. I find it hard to believe that Lil Wayne wrote that. You know, I just thought the whole situation was just ridiculous.
It was empty, half-hearted, and overloaded with bullshit. So, again, you think about it, like, how it was said. It doesn't matter how it was really said. I mean, you think about that length of time to go without actually offering a genuine apology. You don't need a script.
Right, a month and a half.
Know. Yeah, a month and a half, and then finally, because they threatened a sponsor. That's how it seems every day. You threaten their money. Now they want to act like there's a posse, but I wouldn't even accept that. I just wouldn't.
Right. And my thing is, oh, yeah, Jamal's in the chat room. They gave him up, but they let Tyler, the Creator, get a pass. No, they didn't, Jamal, because I just made the video about it. They pulled that Mountain Dew commercial that Odd Future made. So they did not give him a pass. A lot of people said that the commercial was racist, and I didn't like the commercial. I wasn't feeling what they were trying to insinuate in the commercial. I'm just tired of all these companies making money off of black people, but, you know, in the same breath, disrespecting black people, too. You know, I don't know if you guys saw the commercial. Did anybody in the chat room see the commercial that Odd Future put out for Mountain Dew? Because I put the link in my video that I just made, but I know they're pulling the commercial down from YouTube, like, every other hour. So if you have not seen it, I'll post the link. You guys need to see the commercial before they pull it down. I didn't put it in my video because I didn't want them to flag my video and pull my video down, so I didn't put the commercial in there. But it's basically, like, four or five guys from Odd Future, and they're in a lineup, and there's a goat there. No, Tyler, the Creator, is not going to apologize because that's his attitude. I doubt he's going to apologize for anything. But, again, it was a commercial. But the white woman comes in there, she's beat up, and she's screaming and crying and carrying on. And it's just making it look like, you know, that's what black dudes do. They end up in jail, and you have to, you know, finger them from a lineup. And it was just tacky. You know, if you're going to write a script, can we just stop putting black people under the bus? Can we stop throwing ourselves under the bus constantly? Can we show black people in a good light? You know, and so Mountain Dew, they ended up, from pressure, pulling down Tyler's commercial, and they kind of take it off the internet as we speak. But I think it was just too much controversy for Mountain Dew. That's why they made Lil Wayne apologize. I do not believe that it was wholeheartedly. I don't believe that it was sincere. if he really wanted to apologize, he would apologize a month and a half ago. And we even talked about that a few weeks ago when I said, you know what, unlike Rick Ross, I can kind of, you know, respect Lil Wayne for not apologizing. He feels like those are his lyrics, that's what he wants to say, he's not apologizing for nothing. Cool, if that's how you want to feel, you can't force anybody to apologize. Rick Ross's apology was stupid and insincere. I wasn't rocking with his apology either. But for Lil Wayne to apologize now, it just seems like, you know, you're apologizing because you're about to mess with your pockets, nothing more, nothing less. So I think he's full of shit. And so Lacey's saying in the chat room, she never liked Mountain Dew, and I don't either. I don't drink any pop. So as far as people think they're about to get some money out of me from endorsements, and I don't drink pop. So Pepsi, Mountain Dew, it's all the same. It's nothing but sugar.
Yeah. You know, it's over. I mean, it's overlaid with sugar and urine. That's all it is.
I mean, it's crazy. And XLATL is saying that, you know, we have shows like Love and Hip Hop and, you know, anything that throws us under the bus. And you know what also made me mad, you guys? And people were blaming that black woman, other black people, the black woman who had got into with the Mexican girl who fought the black teacher. Do you know that there were people blaming her and saying that the reason why the black teacher fought her was because she was jealous of the Mexican girl? And the reason that's why she took away her makeup? I'm like, you know, it just makes me, even when we're in the right, even when we're not, you know, guilty of doing anything, our own people will find a way to throw us under the bus. Anything to bash black women. And it's just so frustrating when I see people make comments like that. I thought that was just so ignorant. So it's like this woman who's a teacher, who's busting her ass, who's doing what she has to do, who's trying to control her classroom, people are ready to throw her under the bus just for the fact that she's black. So when we don't even respect ourselves as black people and we're quick to say black women ain't shit and F black women, and I mean, some of the comments I have to go through on my page from black men who hate black women, this is really disgusting. It's to the point now I just leave them up because most of my subscribers will attack them anyways. But it's just kind of sad that we got to the point where our own people are so quick to throw each other under the bus and not care about each other's well-being. You know, regardless of what you go through in relationships or with the opposite sex, you would never see me make a video throwing black men under the bus or saying that black men ain't shit or not, you know, up trying to uplift black men and realize that, okay, even though this black man may have fucked up, maybe this black man, you know, robbed a chicken shack with an AK-47. That doesn't mean that all black men are like that, but I just find it funny that when it's one black woman doing something, then all of a sudden that equates all black women. You know, and it's kind of sad, and I feel like because of the attitude that we have with this whole gender war thing and the whole, you know, black men versus black women, it makes these corporations feel like, well, hey, y'all don't have no unity anyways. Y'all don't like each other anyways, so who gives a F? You know, why not, you know, make a commercial showing black men in a lineup? Why not, you know, produce a song where Lil Wayne says, beat the pussy up like Emmett Till? You know what I mean? Because it's like, if we're not having no respect for ourselves, how do we expect Mountain Dew to sit here and hold us or put us in a positive light?
Well, that's what I wanted to say, too, because, like, as much as we can blame these corporations and some of these ass-kissing puppets out here that many people idolize, we have ourselves to blame because we buy and support some of the bullshit that really hurts us. When you have people like ourselves out here who look to do the right thing and try to stay out of trouble, and you have these little hood boogers or whatever out doing whatever they do, whenever you go out, people don't see you for you. They see them, they put their face on yours, and it's on you to, like, remove that in order for you to, like, look, this is me, I'm not on that. So you have to work triple overtime to actually have people see you for who you really are. When it comes to the thing about the gender war, there's a lot of misinformation out there. I mean, granted, there's some decent men and women out here, but for some reason, through the audible silence, through the fear of being outcast by other people by calling things out, the hood boogers seem like they're winning. It seems like whenever we're doing something messed up, that's supposed to be hood, that's supposed to be real, that's supposed to be apparently somewhat ethnic to us, which it isn't. And overall, we should check ourselves and raise a standard, because obviously all of these things that happen out here where people don't even see anything in their communities. Like, we don't have any Like, we're the biggest consumers in the world. We don't have shit to show for it. We can't bring these corporations if we don't sit there and support these things. I mean, we have some corporations that are in our neighborhood, don't mean us any harm, I mean, earthly good, but we put money in their pockets, and we have nothing to show for it. So we definitely have ourselves to blame. This is one among many things that happen. So that's a whole nother series. That's a whole nother series of shows in itself, so we can't even get started on that one.
Right, no, we wouldn't even get started on it, but it's just, you know, it's just unfortunate. That's what I'm saying, like, this is stemming from somewhere. I mean, every other commercial or every other thing, it's like it's an agenda being pushed. But like I said, I think a lot of it comes back on us because we're so quick to throw our own selves under the bus. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to call out ratchetness. It's one thing to, you know, talk about, oh, my God, they're, you know, acting crazy. You know, who would rob a KFC or who would, you know, throw their head on the bus. But when you speak, you're supposed to speak on that individual. You're not supposed to take it as an aha moment to say that, you know, all black women are like this or all black men are like that or typical nigga behavior. You know what I'm saying? And I think because there's so many people putting that perception out there is why a lot of these corporations don't care, because we're so divided and it's so sad. It's so sad that so many things get approved, make it on the cutting room floor. You know, it's just insane. I was listening to an interview before I logged on of, what is his name with the green eyes? Terrence Howard, of how he's saying that he's tired of the blogs because, you know, he's going through a divorce and he's married to an Asian woman. Nothing wrong with that. That's his business. You know, but then he says that, you know, he's tired of the blogs and black women bashing him for the fact that he had an Asian wife. Excuse me. I don't recall ever bashing anybody for being married outside of their race. You know, it's like, why are we putting people all in one category? Just like there was a blog that was written on yourblackworld.net, and they were talking about how black women went in on Beyonce's daughter's hair. I don't know if you guys saw that. Baby Blue Ivory, there was a new picture of her, or Ivy, whatever the hell her name is. Baby Blue, there's a new picture of her posted, and Jay-Z was holding her. And her hair was just kind of curling wild. She's a little girl. She's not, what is she, like one? And her hair is kind of like in a little curly afro puff. And, you know, some people on Twitter went in on her. They were talking about her hair being nappy and now her hair wasn't done. But then the blogger writes that this was black women. And I'm like, you know, a few people on Twitter do not, you know, represent a whole generation of black women. Okay, because you have a few knuckleheads who do something, why does this have to be tied in with all black women dissing a baby's hair? I would never diss a baby's hair. You know what I'm saying? But we get tied into that, and I think that's the unfortunate part because, you know, when white people or other races do something foolish, it's just that one person. Nobody would ever say that all white people diss, you know, Amanda Barnes for getting drunk and doing a DUI. No, a few people had an opinion on the situation. It's not all the same people. So it's kind of crazy. Roshani's saying that it's the same thing like what happened with the whole Gabby Douglas situation. You know, and it wasn't all black women, and I get so tired of that. You know, I feel like we bring our race down so much as a race, you know, between the hip-hop artists not giving a damn and they're just, you know, ready to sell us out for a check, and then the people, you know, out here in the media, the actors, you know, it's just really kind of unfortunate.
Well, this is just a multi-layered clusterfuck we had to deal with because, again, it only takes a backwards view to mess it up for everybody else. And if you look at it, look at the videos that so many deem as misogynistic. If you see, like, the tryouts for that, there's a line around the building three times over. There are no victims out here. Same thing with World Star Hip Hop, Ghetto Gaggers. There are no shortage of submissions. None.
Right.
So when people get upset and say, it's not all, it's more than enough. That's the fucking problem. There's not enough people standing up and speaking against the stuff or putting back shame where it needs to be. There's just so many people who just throw their hands up or they want to complain or throw that lame disclaimer saying not all. I'm like, again, common sense to tell you, it's not everybody else out here. I mean, I don't run around with my pants sagging. I don't have 15 babies across the United States. I'm not doing all this ratchet stuff that most people glorify, but again, this is what we face. You know, you have to show people by your own merit. You are your own individual. You're not handcuffed to the failures of many, even that there are many. So it's a real tough thing to do daily. But again, like when you rank, like just say, like you gain credibility for your own merits by doing what you do. Now you have some people, some detractors, who will attack you for it. Like think, even if you're doing well, they'll think, oh, you think you're too good, or you're. No matter where you go, whatever you try to do, you're always going to face opposition like that. It's about how you handle it. You know, so either they assume that you're, you know, you have multiple kids or fathers or, you know, they assume you have an STD or something like that. If that's what they want to believe, that's what they believe. But we can't validate that bullshit by getting pissy about every accusation. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I agree. You know, if the shoe doesn't fit, you can't. But it just, you know, it just gets frustrating when it's like, why is it always the same old stereotypes? Why is it always the same negativity? You know, but like you said, there's a lot of us who line up for that bullshit, you know, which is insane. Now, did you hear, though, now that you brought up ghetto gaggers, you know there's a petition on change.org. They're trying to get rid of that website. Did you hear about that?
I've heard about it, but there's more than ghetto gaggers. That's one of the popular ones, but there's more out there. There's ones with Nazi porn where you have these chicks getting ran through by these skinheads and doing the most ignorant of bullshit. So if you get rid of
but
one,
my thing is, right. See, you're right. That's my whole thing is none of these women are being forced to do this.
No.
These women, they're not a gun held to their head. They're not being raped. They know what the theme is, that you're going to get banged by some racist white guy, and they still choose to go on porn like ghetto gaggers and could get caught the N-word, get slapped, get, you know, get degraded and everything else. So when they sent me the thing to sign the petition, I was like, hell no, I'm not signing this. These are grown adults. If that's how you get down, that's on your stupid ass. You got to explain that bullshit to your kids 10 years from now. You got to explain that to your supervisor if you ever choose to work in the real world. I'm not signing that. Porn is porn. People have their own little fetishes, and there's a fetish for that particular type of porn. I've watched it once or twice. I couldn't get into it. That was disgusting. That's probably the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, you know, how can you let somebody degrade you that bad and piss on you and call you the N-word and treat you like a slave? Those bitches who do ghetto gaggers have some serious self-esteem issues. But I find it funny that they had a, you know, that they had the whole petition going on. I just thought the whole thing was just crazy. Sonny said she just typed in ghetto gaggers, and that was the last thing she expected to pop up.
Oh, you welcome to the brand new world. There's some shit out there for your ass.
Right. Nope, it's crazy. And everybody in the chat room is talking about the member from Crisscross, Chris Kelly. He was a dark-skinned one in Crisscross. He passed away today. So, you know, RIP to Chris Kelly. That's sad. And I guess he had been, you said he was battling cancer or something like that?
Yeah, battling cancer. I can't remember which kind of cancer, but it's been a long fight. And he finally
right, because he's had it since when we was younger. I remember when they said he had cancer way back in, like, the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a long time. That's a whole lot of suffering. And,
right.
You know, same thing with, you know, I want to say rest in peace to, like, Trina's brother who was, like, shot and killed last week. And
yeah, I heard about that.
It's a sad state of affairs because, like, now things are hitting home, seriously hitting home. So send our condolences to them, you know, going through what they're going through, and because there's some really rough times right now.
Right. And I mean, there's a lot of people, too, that are going through the same thing who aren't famous. You know, people will never know their name, but the whole situation is very, very sad because you do have a lot of people, you know, who go through things like that, and their situations are not blasted on the news, and people never get to know their name, or their situation wasn't as tragic, but it still affects that immediate family, you know. And I know they said Trina's brother had two kids, too, so he was also a very young father, you know. So now you have two more children out here growing up without a father, which is just sad. And the guy who killed them, they caught him already, and they said it was over some, I forgot what kind of beef was over, but it just isn't, it wasn't necessarily taking somebody's life over that. Whatever it wasn't that serious. You know, but it's like people have such little respect for lives nowadays. It's just, it's sickening. It really is.
Yeah. Just a loss of words with it, you know. I mean, even losing two cousins this past weekend, it just makes you look at life completely different than you did, you know, before all that happened.
Right.
I don't know.
It does. I mean, it just lets you know how short life is, you know. And it's like you got to take it, you know, one step at a time and appreciate things. And, you know, that's why I said even with that whole situation, like with Lil Wayne and Emmett Till apologizing, life is too short. You know, if he's not going to apologize on his own merit, leave it be. That's something he has to deal with. You know, people aren't always going to treat you right and, you know, treat you the way that you want to be treated. But as long as, you know, you haven't done anything in the long run, you have to just keep it moving. It's really crazy out here. You know, I mean, can somebody tell me, I'm asking everybody in the chat room, what is the weather like where y'all live? Because we've been having debates at work, like, we don't know if this is HARP. We don't know if the end of the world is coming soon. We don't know if it's the rapture. I mean, we just been having all types of conversations, like, what is going on? Over the weekend, like I told you on YouTube, it was 75 degrees up here. As of today, it is snowing. And it seems like everybody talks to all over the nation is like, it's cold up here, it's rainy up here. It's like spring started a month and a half ago, and it hasn't really necessarily felt like spring all throughout the nation. It's like, what is going on right now?
I don't know.
Well, Shani said it's hot as hell in Cali. So Lacey said it rained a bit in Florida. VH1 Access is saying it's raining in Florida, too. Yeah, it's been crazy. I've had a lot of people, like, around the country and even, like, overseas, they were saying a lot of stuff. Chicago's getting a lot of really bad rain and flooding, too. So it's been nuts. Jamal is saying the weather where he's at is bipolar. It's hot one day, then the next day it's rainy and cold.
Same with
you. Saying Atlanta is nice, but there's been some rain, but not too much cold. So
Thomas
is in Cali, back and forth, right, sunny and dark, wind, crazy weather. Yeah, it's something going on. We have tornado warnings in Florida. I also heard there's also a lot of tornadoes that were touching down in North Carolina. I talked to my people out there, and they were saying the same thing. So it's really just, it's nuts what's going on. Like, I just don't get it.
No.
But you definitely got to take one day at a time and appreciate it, for real.
Yeah, take what little sun you can get, because in the next hour or even day, it can shift. Cause like this past weekend, it rained for like almost the whole day. It was like flash flood warnings. So, yeah, you don't know nowadays. It used to be when spring came about, you had like a little sprinkle of rain a little bit in one of our business. But now, it's going haywire everywhere.
Right. It's like, if it's not one thing, it's another. It's just nuts. Now, it looks like we have somebody on hold. I don't know if they're just listening, if they're trying to join in on the conversation. I'm going to go ahead and let them in. Area code 910. 910, you're in table chat with, table talk, excuse me, with T. Who is this?
Hello.
910. Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, who is this?
Janae, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, we're doing good.
You said you said 910. I thought it was somebody else. Mine is 901. That's why.
Oh, okay. Okay, 901. I hit yours, but I seen a 910 as well. But no, you're fine. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I never knew that, what's his name, Lil Wayne apologized. But even I just read that document, and I'm just sitting there like, well, number one, you know, either Lil Wayne it acts foolishly and is smart or something, because it just didn't come across like that was really him. And second,
right.
It wasn't sincere. Now, I know that he went to school or he was planning on going to school for psychology, but I don't know. Something doesn't sit well with me right there. Because how can you write, you know, number one, it doesn't sound like him. And second, why would you wait, like, what, over a month to apologize?
Right.
Was it 2 months or over a month? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. And then second, I with this whole love, you know, with the kids fighting the teachers and stuff, I have seen a kid fight against a teacher one time, and that teacher threw her to the ground, and I was shocked. Oh my God! And she pulled the student had pulled the teacher's necklace off, and she put her on the ground. She didn't play. She did not play, and I was like, oh, my God. But I know that I remember my mother chasing around the house with a belt when I talked back to a teacher. She did not play, and I don't understand what's in the food nowadays. I don't know what it is about these kids' mentality with doing all the stuff that they do. I thought my generation was bad or our generation was bad, but shoot, these kids have literally gone crazy. Is it the Ritalin or something?
Right. Some of it is the drugs they got these kids on, you know, those psychotropic drugs and stuff like that. You know, it definitely can do it. But it's unfortunate because, like you're saying, you know, when you were in school, your parents didn't play that. And I think a lot of it is now you have a lot of parents who don't care, who don't want to be bothered. They have their own problems. They have their own stressors that they're dealing with. And they expect the school to be able to handle everything, you know. So it's just kind of unfortunate because these teachers are left to, they're supposed to teach, but then you also have to deal with the bad kids. You also have to deal with the kids who come from a really crazy household who are dealing with a lot of issues outside of school. So a lot of these teachers, they're not only being paid to teach, but they're also the psychologist. They're also the person who, you know, who sometimes feeds the kids, who sometimes give, you know, kids lunch money and who have to help out with these kids and go above and beyond. And that's why I said it's really unfortunate. A lot of teachers, they don't get paid what they're worth.
Exactly.
You know, it's just a shame.
I have another thing to tell you. I knew of a girl who used to take me to church, and, you know, she and I we don't talk anymore. You know, it's been a long time since we talked. But she actually works at this school here in my hometown, and she works as a speech pathologist. Not pathologist, but a speech therapist. I said pathologist. You know, but anyway, this girl told me, you know, this is a predominantly black school that she works at, and it's on the black side of the town. This girl told me, she was like, well, Janae, do you realize the stuff that we have to go through? She said, I know, you know, there's one kid who has glasses, but whose mom is not responsible for, you know, to have him to put his glasses on and everything like that. That we actually, at the end of the day, we have to take the glasses from him, put it in our drawer, and give it to him the day that he comes into school. There are some key, you know, she said that, you know, we have to provide pencils and paper and a lot of different other materials. And she said, I don't understand why. And she told me, she was like, there are some people who, you know, who take these kids to school, and they're younger than I am. And I was like, what? And she said, yes, they're younger than I am. And she was like only 25 at the time. And, you know, she was like, they're a lot younger than I am. It seemed like they don't care. And I was like, oh, my God. Because you got to realize this is a white girl. So if she is, I'm not saying that she's racist or anything, because she's not. But my point is that if she's seeing this, she's already developing an image right there on black people in that moment when she's seeing all of this stuff. Not saying that she, you know, she's racist or she's prejudiced, but she's already developing an image of how we are.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, which is unfortunate because, like we were saying earlier, there's so many crazy images of us in general. And then, you know, a lot of us, you got some of us who just love to throw each other under the bus. And so they put those images out there. Because, you got to realize, too, like 10 years ago, there was no World Star Hip Hop. There was, you know, if you heard about crazy stories, it stayed in your town. It was like the town joke, and that was it. You know, I can imagine 4 to 10 years ago before I was able to, you know, hear stories. I mean, we've had all kinds of crazy stuff going on, but again, it stayed in that city. It stayed in that neighborhood. But nowadays, anything can go viral. Anything can happen in the classroom or in the neighborhood, and that's the perception that people have of people of color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is sometimes always a negative perception, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't understand why was Terrence Howard, you know, because this is the same thing that happened with Michael Jordan, because there were some people, I even had a friend that his mom was like, you know, well, I don't understand why, you know, you got all these black women here, and Michael Jordan ended up with a white girl. Well, number one, she's not white. She's Puerto Rican.
Right.
And I'm mm-hmm. just feeling like people equate, you know, white and Puerto Rican, and you know, like it's the same and it's not. But, you know, I was just like, well, you know, I told him, I was like, well, why does it matter to your mom like that? You know, he said, well, I don't know. You know, she's a little bit racist. You know, because, you know, she even, you know, dislikes the fact that he doesn't want to be with a woman that has children. And, you know, that's his personal preference. And unfortunately, because he's black, a lot of the black girls have children out of wedlock, according to statistics. I'm not saying just to be bashing, but I'm just telling the truth. But the thing is, he, you know, he's also Republican. You know, he's not a Democrat. And so he gets a lot of flack in his family. He's basically like the black sheep of the family, and he's been told, like, oh, you're a white boy or anything like that. And he comes to me with all of this stuff because, you know, I'm pretty level-headed when he can, so he, therefore he can talk to me, like, about this. But
mm-hmm.
you know, I agree with you that we do put our race down, and I feel what he's talking about. And, you know, we can't get off to the white man and say, well, you're making us look bad in your movies and you know, and everything like that. Well, we're making ourselves look bad. But when we do it, when the black man does it, it's funny. But when the white man does it, it's racist.
It's racist, right.
I'm like, you know, and that's why I was pissed off with the Don Imus thing. Okay, you know, you're going to sit up there and get on to Don Imus, and I wanted to beat the crap out of Reverend Al Sharpton, going to sit up there and chastise Don Imus, and I'm sorry for going on a tangent, but I'm pissed off because he's going to sit up there and get on to him about what Don Imus did, but I'm just sitting there like, hold up, don't you see all this rap music that degrades and demeans our women? Have you not talked about that yet?
Right. I mean, that goes for a lot of stuff. I mean, that's the same people were saying during the whole Trayvon Martin thing. You know, folks trying to run out and buy skills and put on hoodies and go on all these marches when it's a, you know, a white man, Latino, whatever you want to call Zimmerman, that kills one black child. But then you got black people in Chicago killing black people like it's, you know, the rapture.
Exactly.
You know, when you can go into the new year and already 30 people are dead within a month, that's like literally a person per day. And sometimes they were saying it was up to 2 people per day getting killed in Chicago. But there were no marches. I didn't see Al Sharpton, you know, denouncing that. So I take Al Sharpton and a lot of these, you know, so-called black leaders with a grain of salt. You know, I take them with a grain of salt because you can't pick and choose when you want to be a leader.
I even have a problem with Barack Obama because he basically considered all of those kids who got killed in the Connecticut school shooter, which was really bad, a national catastrophe, and it was. But my thing is this, the Chicago shootings happened before the Connecticut thing happened, or actually around the same time, let me take that back. So what was Obama? And that's Chicago, that's his city. So why have, and then when the girls that got killed that went to sing, you know, for him at his inauguration, I have yet to hear anything where he said anything about those girls, but, you know, his administration said something, but the thing is, he didn't say something. He was, you know, out of his whole busy day, he could call Jason Collins and say, you know, I'm proud of you for coming out of the closet, you know, and announcing that you're gay. And, you know, hey, that's his business if that's what he wants to do. But, okay, you haven't addressed Chicago and the killings that's going on in Chicago. And that's your city. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, he can address, but he has yet to address.
Right. You know, and it's all about choices, you know. And, again, like he would say, is it right for him to address, you know, Chicago, even though he used to be the mayor? Well, what about L.A.? They have a lot of killings. You know, what about Louisiana? They have a lot of killings. So that's when you kind of, that's when he has to kind of walk a slippery slope, because he can't just focus on Chicago because he is the president of the United States. So, but I understand both parts. You know, this is what people tell me. Well, you know, well, what about other cities? Why should he just talk about Chicago? But I think people will feel better if he addressed it more, just because he was a community organizer in Chicago. He did run a lot of things. He did work for the people when he was running. And then once he became president, it's like he kind of forgot about that. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's not – Obama's only one man. And I don't think he really has an agenda for black people, truth be told. I don't see it, you know, so I don't see why anybody would even wait on Obama to do anything.
You say you
he has an agenda for black people.
You
I don't believe he has an agenda for – no, not that he didn't care. I don't believe he has an agenda for black people.
Such
I mean, you got to get up and get it yourself.
Yeah.
He has an agenda for the gays. He has an agenda for the Latinos. I have yet to see any type of –
Hello.
Yeah, we're still here. I don't know what happened to T, but I think we're treading on that dangerous water again.
Dang, the Illuminati is doing it again.
Hey, y'all, it's real. T, call back in, because they at it again. Yes, call back on your cricket phone.
Is this the same thing that y'all were talking about last Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. We've been put on punishment, had our hands spanked. I think Secret Service got her. I don't hear no knocks on my door yet. So, you know, I get what you're saying, especially with the selective empathy. When they're giving much praise and adulation to Collins, you know, calling him the Jackie Robinson or some nonsense, but... Again, this is a guy who was with his fiance for 8 or so years, and she was the last to know. No one talks about the deception on that or any of this foolishness that they always tend to admit. So I definitely feel what you're saying on that. That's a whole nother show in itself.
Oh, God. I hope she can get back in. Why punish her?
They punish people who care to step out, stand out, and think for themselves and not be like sheep, like any of us who decide to question everything as we should. You're a threat. That's what you are.
Dang.
Yeah.
I want you to get back in. That's crazy. But I don't know. I just, you know, I knew that. Yeah, I have nothing against Obama, but it's so funny because I remember back in the 2008 election, after he won, there were some black kids at my college that dressed up, you know, after he won. And I was like, okay. I asked them, I was like, why are y'all dressed up? There's a lot of black kids who were dressed up. Why are y'all dressed up? Oh, we're dressed up because we're showing Obama that we're proud of him, that he, you know, that he won the presidency. I was like, hold up. Would you, y'all don't do that for Christ?
No.
And y'all worship Christ. Y'all don't do that for any other event. So why y'all want to do that now? I mean, I don't know. It's just, it comes across to me like people have lost their ever-loving mind when it comes down to Obama. And I see the signs. I see a lot of things with him that kind of rubs me off the wrong way. But I'm not saying that I disrespect him. I love him. I respect him as my president. But I just don't, I see the favoritism. I see he shows a lot of favoritism with one group over the other and everything like that, like with the Sandra Fluke thing. I'm just sitting there like, okay, well, you know, I understand that she wants to have, you know, birth control pills and stuff like that, and put it being put on the policy and all that type of stuff. But my thing is this: if you want birth control pills,
hello,
welcome
back.
Hello, hello. You know, every time we talk about that damn president, y'all, I get kicked out. We ain't talking about Obama no more. This is some bullshit. I was running my mouth for 5 minutes. Hold up. What did you say about Obama? And I'm like, did she not hear me? So I start talking again, and all of a sudden I'm like, I can't hear you, T. Every time we get on that man, tell me I don't get kicked off.
Oh, yeah. Last week was a motherfucker, too.
The week before,
Jersey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That is crazy. No, that is, oh, my God. And then when I called back into the show, Ronan, it was like, there's a host hosting your show already. They could only be one host at a time, and it hung up on me. How is somebody else hosting my show, and I hung up the phone to call back in?
Yeah.
That is crazy. I guess we can't talk about y'all's president. No comment.
You can't talk about that guy.
I didn't mean to get you kicked out, girl. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, we finally come to the conclusion. Every time we have a show concerning something with politics, concerning something with Obama, tell me that we've been talking for the past hour about all types of bullshit. Lil Wayne, you know what I'm saying? Tyler, the Creator. Everybody heard everything nice and clear. So we get on Obama and his policies. Hello, T, are you still there? We can't hear y'all.
I mean, we can talk about random stuff, and it's cool. I mean, the whole station will be clear. But as soon as you cross the red line, if you go against the homosexual agenda, if you go out here talking about any old sensitive stuff or the actors that they recycle during these martial arts training practices, now we have problems. We have technical difficulties. T gets knocked off. I have popcorn.
Right.
You know,
remember last time you sound like you was underwater?
Yeah.
And y'all in the chat room, y'all are my witnesses. Y'all know every time we get on something political, the same thing happens. This damn Blog Talk Radio is part of the Illuminati. I don't care what nobody say. They be sitting there listening to certain shit, and when they hear anything political, anything about Obama, our show gets shut down.
Everything is
running just smoothly for the past 40 minutes. No interruptions, no nothing. We start talking about his agenda and his policies for the black community, and all of a sudden, disconnected.
And this is what goes to show
Can you make a video about that, T, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Can you make a video about that? At least YouTube won't block it.
Well, I did. I said something in the Obama video that I had talked about when he was addressing the whole Jay-Z situation. You know, I had addressed it a little bit, but, I mean, this is ridiculous. This is sort of ridiculous. I called back in and they were like, no, somebody's hosting your show.
Yeah.
Dang. I guess, you know, we don't have free speech anymore. We're close to communism.
It's called a privilege. It's that people don't know the difference between rights and privilege. And when it comes to privileges, they are quick to take them away. Actually, they're setting up conditions to actually let you give them away. Same thing like the where you talk about the gun rights and other privileges that we take advantage of and make it conducive to, like, let's say, like the thing with the Sandy Hook or the things with Boston or other places, you know, that took place. They have these incidents where you fight, hey, if you guys go with this little package we have, you know, we'll take care of everything. But it comes with a price. So when you have a radio station that you have an intelligent radio show, or among many, but they have an intelligent kill switch when you start going into issues that you're not supposed to be aware about or know about, and you saw that tonight.
That was quick. Because I heard you say, T, what did you say? And I'm like, huh? Because I was talking clear as day. And then when she said it a third time, I'm like, well, damn, can't she hear me? And then I started seeing people in the chat room type in, T, we can't hear you. And I'm talking, I was talking for like 3 minutes straight, breaking down what I thought his policies were, breaking down what I thought his agenda was, and y'all didn't hear none of that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I heard you a little bit, but I didn't hear you all the way.
That's crazy.
Dang, I mean, what happened to free speech?
Girl, it ain't free no more.
That's a whole nother show in itself. A whole nother
right.
show.
Free speech is only cool if everybody agrees with you. Jim Ross said somebody in the chat room is Illuminati.
Yeah. What's up, guests?
Somebody, right? I'm guests in the corner.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, my goodness.
The last show was worse than this. We both ended up getting booted out. Then when we tried to come into the chat room, we had a HTTP 500 error. Nothing could be displayed. You couldn't even get onto Blog Talk Radio. Jamal said he seen somebody run in the chat room. It wasn't me or Ronan. I'm like, wow, what's really going on? This is insane.
Yeah, but if we talk about if we had a whole show dedicated to world star hip hop and the greatest fights, then you wouldn't even hear a ripple on the radio, not one.
Right.
So,
oh my
that
god!
Is insane.
Did y'all hear about that Chris? What's his name? Chris Broussard thing.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN and they're
now
calling him a.
Yeah.
Almost well, but I'm just sitting there like, dang. Well, obviously, just like with Dan Cassidy, he was asking his opinion. He gave his opinion. Dang. I mean,
what did he say? What happened? Explain that. What happened?
I caught some of that, and I was listening to it before the show happened. And just like anybody else, just like how we talk about things, is like, again, if you speak out against the agenda out there, that is, you know, people tend to either get along to go along, or they ignore it. Then they call you a homophobe, for being honest and tell you the truth. Just like they call people who get killed overseas insurgents. That's pretty much a buffer statement to, like, clean up some unnecessary...
Because I'm human.
Yeah. You take the humanity out of the individual. So anytime you speak on something like, okay, well, I don't agree with the agenda, you're a homophobe. Or you're bashing. Or you're something ignorant. When really it's
mm-hmm.
it'd be further from the truth, but again, once they rubber stamp you with that label, now, you know, they can come after you with pretty much extreme prejudice. Just like how they go the whole bullying campaign, which is you're not supposed to say certain words or whatever, but look exactly what they're doing the whole time. If you're not co-signing it, they're going to either use political correctness to bully you or physically beat you if you're in a certain side of town, like in Chicago called Boys Town. If you're straight, you know, they'll beat you up. They don't say anything about the homosexual gangs that go out there and beat and do other kind of stuff out there. You don't hear a whisper about that. Nothing.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Oh, there's a whole lot of stuff that most people don't talk about. But again, once you put that out there, they say, oh, well, you're trying to, you know, bash homosexuals or whatever, a special group, interest group that is, you know, put on display. Where they do the whole thing about, well, gay's the new black. I hate when people say that shit.
Yeah, Jamal is asking that question in the chat room. He was saying, do you think gays have faced the same trials as being black? And I have a lot of gay friends, you know, that I'm cool with, and we've had this discussion. You know, like I even saw one of my really cool friends, and he's a white gay male. You really wouldn't even know that he was gay because he's open if you ask him, but he's not, you know, flamboyant is what I'm trying to say. He's not flamboyant. But I don't believe it's the same trials and tribulations. And I kind of find that offensive just for the fact that, you know, and I understand, you know, gay pride, and I understand the whole gay, the things that gay people have to go through as far as trying to get their rights to marry, civil unions and all that stuff. That's fine. Do you. But what I don't like about comparing the black struggle with the gay struggle is at the end of the day, I can't ever change my skin tone. And I'm not saying that you can change being gay. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that a lot of times, you know, when you're gay, you can kind of hide it. I can't hide my skin. When you see me, you see black first and my sexuality second. You know what I'm saying? And like I told my boy, most people do not even know he's gay because he's not flamboyant. He does, you know, if you ask him, he's very honest. He'll tell you, I'm gay. But you would never know. You know what I'm saying? Because he just doesn't act really flamboyant. He keeps more to himself. I mean, there's been times where I've been out with him and his boyfriend. Now, his boyfriend, well, his ex-boyfriend now, is very flamboyant. And people be like, who's the gay guy? I said, well, shit, they're both gay. But how about they're together? You know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, that's his boyfriend. Because they'd always be like, well, who, you know, like, who's this gay guy tagging along with? I said, that's my homeboy's boyfriend. And people be shocked because he wasn't flamboyant. So, like, I told him, you can... You know, if you never told anybody that you were gay, most people would not know off the bat that you're gay. So you can kind of hide that, but you can't hide being a white male. When we look at you, we see a white male. So when you look at me, you see a black woman. You see a black person. I'm black first, my gender second, and my sexuality somewhere down the list. So I can't compare the black struggle and slavery and civil rights to that of the gay agenda. I just can't. But that is my opinion. Everybody thinks of it differently.
Well, here's a question I have for me, among many, to everybody. When's the last time you've heard the police sexually profile people over racially profile?
Right.
So,
that's a good question.
And again, it's like you can't compare the struggle because in so many ways, aside from there is still racism in the homosexual community. How is it that that special interest group has more backing, power, and legislation favored to them versus the so-called group you want to compare yourself with?
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about it like that. But
so,
I have to say that there are, you know, I want to, T, you know, go. I'm not sure if you check your inboxes on your fan page on Facebook, but I'm going to send you.
I just have a lot of messages on there.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just letting you know because that's a link that I want to send you of a YouTube video where there was a woman that was a former gay activist and she got out of the gay lifestyle. Her name is Charlene Cochran, and it's on YouTube. And she talks about her testimony and everything like that. But yeah, there are some people who who say that they're now ex-gay. So, you know, you might want to check that out. It's a lot of videos on YouTube about that.
Yeah, there are. There's even a pastor who said that he can convert people from being gay to straight, you know, and that it's a choice. And, you know, and I don't know, for every person is different. You know, like, I've had deep conversations with my gay friends. I mean, like, deep, where, you know, I'm just the type of person, I'm a very honest person. If I have a fucking question in my head, I'm going to ask a question. If you feel offended by it, then we don't need to be friends. Because if you have a question about me and, you know, and we're friends, you have a question about me, how I grew up, I feel for you, you know, feel free to ask. But, you know, like my one boy, we had a little ticket fest, and we were just up talking and everything. And I asked him, I said, you know, let me ask you, when did you become gay? Like, what made you gay? You know, and I was like, because your brothers are the biggest thugs I know. You know what I'm saying? Just thug out, keep a gun, you know, just wild as hell, and then you have him, just gay. And he told me, you know, for a long time, he didn't think he was gay. He said, but he just always knew he was different from his brothers. He didn't look at girls the same. He didn't carry himself the same way as his brothers. And because he was more withdrawn and quiet, you know, his other family members, his father particularly, saw that. And they used to always go at him so hard, like, why aren't you like your brothers? Why aren't you tough like your brothers? You're a little punk. You're a little, you know, they call him the F-word and everything else. He said at that point when his father was calling him all types of, you know, F-words and calling him all types of punks and stuff, he's probably like 13. And at that point, he didn't have a sexual preference. He really didn't know anything about homosexuality or being with a guy. But he said after a while, getting caught that so much, he just, you know, after a while, he just thought, well, damn, well, maybe that's what I am. Because my father keeps saying I am, maybe that is what I am. And then when he got to be about 15, 16 is when he started experimenting. He said he was just trying to be with girls and, you know, because he's real handsome, but he didn't like girls. He's like, it just didn't work. And then he ended up being with an older man because a lot of these older guys play on these young teen boys, especially down in Atlanta. And that's where he kind of got turned out, was down there. And then he just ended up, you know, being gay. And, you know, his family accepts him now, but he even told me, he said, I think had my dad not planted those seeds and came at me the way he did, I probably wouldn't have been gay. Because he's like, I don't think I was born gay. I just think because they always made me feel different, they always caught me that it just kind of piqued my curiosity. So everybody's different. And I have other friends who are like, no, I was born gay, and honey, you can't tell me anything. I've always wanted to be gay. And you know, and that's just who they are. So everyone is different. You know, everybody's story is different. How people come into their sexuality is different. You know, as a kid, I feel like, especially if you're under the age of, like, you know, 8, 9, you don't know what it is to be straight, let alone gay. So I think, you know, certain environments, certain things can kind of push kids one way or another. And sometimes it's just in some kids. You know, sometimes you see little boys out there, they're 5 or 6, and they're just very effeminate. It's like, where are they getting that from? Are they around their mother too much? Is there not a father in the household? And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be gay, but there's just certain things, you know, that can just play into that particular lifestyle. You know, certain things can push you any which way, you know, just like to be straight, you know. It just depends on that person. It just really does. But, you know, as far as people say they can go from being gay to straight, maybe some people can. But then we have to realize some people are content with their lifestyle. Some people are okay with being gay. They have no issues with being gay. And being gay to them is just as normal as being straight is to whoever's straight. So I don't think it's anybody's place to try and change anybody's feelings. If somebody feels like, you know, well, maybe I'm not really gay, or, you know, what would it be like for me to be straight and they want to get converted, they can go seek out those help, you know, those particular avenues. But I don't think it's cool to tell somebody I'll make you straight, because that's what my homeboy and I would get, stupid bitches. So I tell you, some bitches out here thirsty as hell who would try and turn him out, and they would tell him, you just ain't been fucked right. Once you hit this, you'll turn straight. And he's like, no, you're a hood rat. I'm still going to be gay. You know, so it's like you have a lot of women, too. And that's why I always kind of confuse about the women who get so upset about the DM lifestyle, because I've been with my homeboy and watched straight bitches. And I'm talking about females who, you know, who are straight. And they're not ugly. I'm not saying that all of them were ugly or busted. I mean, pretty girls, nice shapes. And it's like they get so pissed off that he's gay because he's cute. There's no reason you should be gay, and I'll turn you out. And they will offer him some. And if he was willing to take it, they would have sex with him. But these same girls are screaming that men ain't shit, and they're all on the DL and everything else. You know what I mean? So I just think it's crazy because a lot of these straight women be trying to mess with these gay dudes, because I've seen it, and it shocked the hell out of me. Because I'm just the type of person that I get into, I don't want to have sex with a gay man. Because I'm being like, well, damn, we're being intimate, but you're thinking about, you know, Jose instead of me. Nah, that ain't going to work.
Now, have you ever been with a non-black guy though? Have you ever been with a non-black guy? Personally,
I've dated before outside of my race. I've never been with a white dude or nothing like that. No.
Oh, you don't like white guys like that?
I've dated a white guy. I just never slept with a white guy. No.
I'm not talking about, like, sleeping with. I'm just saying, would you go outside of your race and even marry outside your race? Well, I think you have a black boyfriend.
Yes, ma'am. I'm whoever treats me right. You know what I'm saying? I just happen to be with a black man right now, but if he was Mexican, he was Mexican. I don't feel like people have to explain themselves to anybody. You know, it's whoever treats you right, whoever you're in love with. You know, if black dudes can be out here dating every flavor of the rainbow, why can't, you know, black women?
Black women. I don't understand. What is the big obsession with black women not wanting to date outside of the race? I'm like, dang. I mean, if the pool of black men is that low, then why not cross over the bridge?
You know what? That's a whole mini-series in itself, really. But I co-sign with what T was saying. Again, like, some people have to understand it's not an extraterrestrial experience. The messed up part is when someone allows themselves to be treated like a fetish, because I've sampled, you know, different women from different
sample.
Races. And, sampled. I mean, like, dated. I mean, the thing is, like, what I don't like personally is when someone makes your ethnicity the focus of why they're dealing with you, like saying things.
Right.
Like, you know, like treating you like a fetish, like, you know, saying chocolatey and always something about my skin tone or something that makes you feel like a pet or something to do. I mean, like, it dehumanized you in that. So that's what I didn't like about that aspect. No, it see me,
right.
To me, you know, it shouldn't be
right.
Like, well, because men or women of my race don't want me, I'm going to go get me one just to have one. But there's different ways that they're raised, how they do things different. You have to learn how to, like, see that individual for who they are, not what shade they are. But that's a whole other show in itself.
I see your point.
Yeah,
now, like, I know you were talking about Sherrod Azad or something like that.
Yeah, Sherrod
Azad Ali.
Yeah, she is really good. I love her. Now, the problem I have with some black Muslims, like with the Louis Farrakhan, they do come across like they're very racist and prejudiced against white people or white men in particular. And I'm like, I'm not saying that she is, but it seems like, you know, it does come across that way. Like, oh my God, you know, they hate us so much and we hate them.
But have you really sat and listened to Louis Farrakhan? Because if you really sat and I listen to Louis Farrakhan every Sunday. That's what I play Sunday morning in my house. We listen to Louis Farrakhan, and, you know, I'm not part of the FOI or nothing like that.
You got her again.
Dang. Twice? Okay, but we're not talking about politics, though.
We're talking about something with religion, something that is a hot button issue. That guy, he's anti-Semitic. He's all this mess. I mean, yeah. Try calling in again, T. I mean, we already know the routine, so.
Are you, like, beside her as you're talking to her?
No. See, that's the thing. Like, you know, she's where she is. I'm here in Houston, you know. And we don't see. Now, that'd be different if we had a studio and they would start doing that. Then we already know it's an inside job. But we don't.
Dang.
So, yeah. They, I mean,
on Block Talk Radio, they have religious discussions and stuff like that on there. I've looked on there.
Again, the problem is when it goes off script, that's where a problem happens.
What do you mean off script?
If it goes.
Wow.
If it goes
off script. I guess you can't talk about Louis Farrakhan either.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dang it.
Did
you hear
that static noise? Did
you
hear that noise before it hung up on me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't hear anything. You just died on
me. As I was talking, it said, just like that, really, really loud. And I'm like, hello, whose phone is that? It said, click. I'm impressed. This is not funny. This is the second time in one show. So we can't talk about the games. We can't talk about Louis Farrakhan. We can't talk about Obama. What the?
Well, actually,
well,
real
was,
conversation.
What was he trying to say?
Girl, I was going to say, it might hang up on me again. We got 13 minutes left.
No, hey, fuck it. Go all out.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it did it again.
Really?
Oh, my God. What I was saying, goodness, before the phone was hung up on me. I was saying that on Sunday I listened to Louis Farrakhan. If you really listen to what he preaches, Janae, he does not preach hate. He does not preach about hating the white man. He talks about a lot of stuff with, like, the Illuminati, the elite bankers who's running the government, the shadow government. He breaks a lot of stuff down. He talks about the black community, you know, how we can help better ourselves. He's actually one of the leaders I do respect because he actually goes out. At any given time, you can see him out there on the south side of Chicago, walking around with the FOI, the Fruit of Islam, you know, really talking to these young guys, trying to get them in check. I don't see Jesse Jackson out there. I don't see Al Sharpton, but you really do be seeing Louis Farrakhan in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, really talking to these boys, trying to get in their heads. And if you listen to, like, a lot of, like, especially his newer speeches, he breaks down so much stuff that's going on in the government with Obama, just a lot of stuff. So it's not about him hating white people. That's what they try to push initially, like when he first came out, like the 90s and 80s. But if you really listen to a lot of the stuff that he says, it's not about that. Most of the stuff he talks about that does concern white people are like the Jewish bankers or like the people who, like, you know, run stuff. Not saying Jewish people, but, like, you know, the people who run stuff, like in Israel and stuff like that. So he breaks down a lot of things. You just got to really listen to him. You can't go at it like he's a racist guy because he's not racist. He breaks down a lot of really good things, especially when it comes to the black community, you know, black love, you know, black pride, just all types of stuff. And I used to think that, too. I used to think that he was, like, really racist until I really sat down and I started really listening to his lectures. And I respect a lot of the stuff that he says. I don't agree with everything, but I do respect a lot of the things that he says. You know, he breaks down a lot of stuff, and I'll even send you some of the videos that I watch, you know, that he just breaks down just different things. You know, one day he was going in on Rihanna and how they're using her to push an agenda, and when she tried to go off on him on Twitter, and he was really coming at her, like, from a grandfather aspect. Like, I want to see more for you. I don't want to just see you out here posting pictures of yourself just drinking and, you know, dirty wine, and all they're doing is using you for their agenda.
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't like about Rihanna is that she's very beautiful, but she makes herself very ugly with how she carries herself. And she comes, even though she acts hard, she comes across to me like she's real soft. And I don't mean like she's real soft or feminine, like perhaps when she's behind closed doors.
Right. I think she's just like a little, I just look at her like a little girl. You know, she needs attention. And I think when you're that young, you know, and I used to kind of judge her before, like, damn, she's so trashy. But when I really look at a lot of these celebrities, I feel bad for them. Because when you got to think about it like this. These are people who've been in the industry since they was, you know, 15, 16. She didn't have no guidance. She didn't have anybody to tell her anything specific. All it was about making money. You know, the sexier you can be, the more provocative you can be, keeping your name in the headlines. So she didn't have, like, you know, her mom to be there to, like, really school her. You know, she was raised by the industry. And then when you have that much money, who's going to tell you no? Who's going to check you? You know what I'm saying? So a lot of these people, I feel bad for them. You know, it's easy to go in on Justin Bieber and be like, you know, Justin Bieber is a loser and he's just a spoiled brat and da-da-da-da. But again, who's going to tell him no when you have everything at your fingertips? With great power comes responsibility. And they don't realize how much power that they have. You know, they can say one thing. If she was to tweet right now, jump off of a bridge, I bet you 50 Rihanna Navy people would jump off of a bridge and not even think twice about it. That's scary to have that much power at such a young age.
Damn, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Dang, I didn't realize that.
A lot of these celebrities, I feel bad for them. You know, we talk about them, we go in on them and stuff like that. But some of them, especially the ones that are younger, and the ones who've been in the industry a long time, you know, you can just tell they're just brainwashed. And not a lot of them are not really happy. And I don't think she's really happy. You know, when I look at it, because I follow her on Instagram, when I look at her pictures and, you know, when every picture you post is you just drunk out your mind, high out your mind, you know, you're in a different club every night, you're with a different person, you're with people who say they're your friends, but they're not really your friends. They're with you because you're famous and because of what you can do for them, you know. So I feel bad for a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Now, someone please explain to me, who is Queen Bee? Like, why do they call her that?
That's Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Bee, that's the beehive.
That I never
people have put her on such a pedestal that they consider her queen. She called herself king. She called herself King Beyonce, and people just changed it to Queen Beyonce because they say she's the queen of R&B. Nobody can touch her. She's the best. She's better than Etta James. Tell her, you know, let her followers tell it. They cussed out Etta James before she died. You know, when she had said some things about Beyonce. Yeah, how Beyonce portrayed her in the movie. They went off on Etta James.
Yeah. I didn't think she was that good in that film, but I liked the part where she sang. But the parts when she was talking, I was like, oh, not so much. But, you know, the only problem that I have with Beyonce is that she's beginning to look more like a European white woman than a black woman. Don't get me wrong, I have nothing. If she wants to dye her hair that way, then that's fine. But I saw that Pepsi advertisement where they literally, you know, where her hair was like literally white. And then her skin is white. I was like, oh my God.
And she approves all those pictures. And, you know, that's the thing that irritates me with that. Because it's like, you're not dark-skinned. We all know you're light. So why do you feel the need to whiten your pictures so much? There's been times I've seen Beyonce on a magazine cover, and I didn't even know it was Beyonce. I thought it was Shakira. Or I thought it was another, you know, Latina or, you know, a white person. And I'm like, damn, that's Beyonce? That's crazy. It doesn't even look like her.
Yeah.
You know, but it's anything to, you know, make her comfortable to the masses, and they want her to have that universal appeal. And the lighter you are, the more racially ambiguous you are, the more appeal you'll have, because now she can fit any category. Anytime they've asked anything about race, she even said one time that she wished she was Latino. Well, damn, what's wrong with being black? You know what I'm saying?
When did she say that? I never heard her say that.
She said that. You can Google that. Beyonce wants to be Latina. She said that during the time when she made that song with Shakira.
Ladies, do we really want to go to that conversation? Because, like, some people will be mad if we really talk about that. They'll be mad as a motherfucker.
Devin says she has a worse fan base next to the Bieber stands, and I agree.
Yeah.
Beyonce stands, they go hard. Every time they attack me, I send them my Beyonce's number one fan video, and they never reply back. I went hard in that video. I can't stand any stands. I don't care who they are, who they stand for. Stand for yourself.
Are you talking about the one where you do the ducky?
Anytime they cuss me out, like, you know, because some people feel like they have the right to send me emails and I'm not supposed to reply back. Oh, so you got the right to, you know, just, you know, verbalize your feelings? Well, watch this. And I send them the video. And that's it.
No, it just doesn't make any sense to me because I remember back in the day I was a huge Britney Spears fan, but, you know, I never attacked anybody who was, you know, anti-Britney Spears. I may try to defend her, but
that's because we're from a different generation. When we were growing up, we just understood that you had your favorite artist and it was what it was. You may like Britney, and I didn't like Britney, but we was cool. I might have been a Christina Aguilera fan, you were a Britney fan, but I'm not going to fight you after school. I'm not going to cuss you out. I mean, some of these kids are so delusional. It's sad. I mean, even K. Michelle got banned.
I remember being a little kid liking the Spice Girls. I mean, don't ask me why, but I still do. I still do. Look at those songs are catchy.
It's crazy.
I may have given up my Negro card, but shoes, I don't care. Those were catchy songs.
Right, it's nothing wrong with being a fan. You know, I'm a fan of a lot of people's music, but I'm not taking no bullet for nobody. I'm not spending my last check on a damn CD or, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand that because we were never raised like that.
Yeah.
You respected artists for what they did, for their craft, but then I guess what kills me more is the reality TV people who have stands. Like, I had K. Michelle stands coming at me for my last video. K. Michelle has stands? What has she done to even deserve a fan, let alone a stand?
But now, I don't understand this
love and
hip-hop. Somebody has to school me on this love and hip-hop mess because even my mama likes it. I don't get it. Like, what's the point? Maybe it's just frustrating to me because we have so many reality TV shows, then sitcoms, then TV shows. It's like every time they would cancel a sitcom, they canceled All My Children because it put a reality TV show, and this is according to Susan Lucci, and put a reality show in front of it because it was $400,000 cheaper. I'm like, oh, my God, there's been shows that's been going on for 40-some-odd years, and now you all of a sudden you want to cancel it?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. We got about 3 minutes left. There's somebody listening online. I tried to listen in earlier, but it wasn't really working. It wasn't allowing me to do it. But let me see if I can let them on with these last 3 minutes left. Area code 803. 803, you're on the line with Tabletop with T.
Hello, T.
Hello. Hey.
Hi, this is Darla. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, Darla. How you been?
I'm good.
We were having so many technical issues. I couldn't even pick up your line. It just now allowed me to. What did you want to add?
Well, I was thinking about when you all mentioned the Christopher Broussard thing and the gay agenda and everything. And I'm really annoyed by the fact that all it takes is for someone to say that they're gay, and then the president says that he's proud, or the president's wife says that she's proud. So the hell what? I mean, you don't even know this guy. You don't know what his character is like. You know what I'm saying? And you're proud of him. For what?
Right.
That is so stupid and silly to me that's all it takes. And then anyone who wants to say that their opinion, like, can people have Christian, Muslim, Jewish? Because to me, all those religions tend to promote a heterosexual lifestyle. So, you know, I don't like the whole idea of trying to force people to be like you. And what I liked about what Broussard said, or whatever his name is, I feel like he was really, he said what he said very eloquently. He basically was like, you know, he gets along very well with the player who came out. I forgot his name, but he said that he knows where he stands. He knows he's a Christian, and he knows he's gay, but they get along. And he was just like, you know, I don't have to agree with your lifestyle to be cool with you. We can be adults about it, respect each other, and, you know, whatever. And that's what he was saying. And I just feel like that just made so much sense. But the way that people think today, really in anything, whether it's gay issues or politics, people are just really stuck on stupid, and they cannot tolerate different opinions in theirs.
Right. It's like I said, freedom of speech is only okay when the majority agrees with you.
Right.
So as soon as, you know, if you say something about gay people if somebody finds it offensive, then your freedom of speech is null and void.
Mm-hmm.
If you say something about Christians and somebody finds it offensive, then your freedom of speech is null and void, and that's so unfair because we should be able to state our opinions in a respectful manner. You know, I don't have to agree with your lifestyle, but I still respect you as a human being. I still respect the fact that, you know, for you to marry or not marry, but that's somebody's opinion. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person because they don't agree with that particular lifestyle.
Right.
And we're down to like 20 seconds. We can kind of go into overtime. So those in the chat room, you guys are not going to be able to hear anything from this point on, but we're going to talk to Darla like another 5-10 minutes, and then you guys will be able to hear that when you play the show back. So thank you guys in the chat room for joining us tonight. Sorry about all the technical issues. Illuminati's in the house.
have
a good night in the chat room.
I want to be in the conversation too. I want to be part of it.
So we're going into overtime right now, so which
right.
is fine. I just wanted you to elaborate on anything else because I didn't get to let you in on the show earlier, Darla.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I wanted to comment, and I really liked your video about the student, the little badass who decided she wanted to fight her teacher. But the thing was, I made a comment on YouTube because I did not like how the teacher was with her. I think the teacher was basically kind of came down to her level because
mm-hmm.
for me, I understand how it is. I've been in situations with students and with kids today and whatnot, and I know that they're very disrespectful. But the last thing you want to do is go toe-to-toe in the same way with someone who's immature like that. That's the way that you get them to just kind of take it to a whole nother level. And I feel like
right.
she did that. And she did get into her space. The teacher was going in, like, it wasn't just the girl, and it did look like she hit or that she pushed or nudged the student, and so I feel like the way that she dealt with that situation wasn't like a mature adult, you know, so I feel like kind of as an adult, you can, when you're dealing with someone who's immature and extremely emotional, you have a lot of control over how things will turn out. And I feel like, not that she should have just been like, oh, this girl can act however she wants, but her ass would have got dismissed. Okay, leave my classroom. We're not getting ready to argue. That's the way that you make people disrespect your authority when you're coming down to argue with people. When you're in authority, you don't need to argue. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I get the whole confiscating things, but if she didn't want to give it or whatever, it would have been like, you know, okay, I'm calling security, or I'm calling, you know, whoever, but you're not going to be in my classroom. So I just felt like she kind of helped to make that situation worse. But I just think that kids today have no sense of authority, and I'm a social worker. So it's really, to me, it's not so much so that kids are raised by younger parents. That's not true. I've been a social worker for several years. I grew up with my parents doing foster care. And parents actually
mm-hmm.
are older today than they were 30 and 40 years ago. Parents were young. They've been young for centuries in this world, all over, and in America. It's a mentality that has changed. You know, it's okay,
it's okay to
be a dumbass in your 20s and 30s. I'm 30 years old and people still say I'm mature. Well, I think I'm supposed to be mature at 30. You know,
right.
It's like, what? You know, people just kind of have very low expectations. And the reason why the kids are the way they are today is because they have no values. There have been young parents who keep their children in tech. You know what I'm saying? My grandmother
mm-hmm.
was a young mother. She was like 20, 21 when she had my mom. You know,
right.
But she did what she was supposed to do. I've dealt with 30 and 40 year old parents who had no clue how to parent their kids. So it's really not an age issue. You know, it's just people today don't seem to know how to give their kids a sense of what authority is like. And I think honestly, and I'm not trying to go into a rant about my job, like what I do and what social work has become. But I think when the government gets so much involved in your parenting, I've seen a lot of parents who feel like they can't discipline their kids. You know what I'm saying? They don't feel like it's
mm-hmm.
okay to correct you know, to shut down their kids' behavior. You know what I'm saying?
Right. A lot of parents feel like their kids and them, they're all beyond reproach. Can
right.
I come? Nothing. You can't come. Their kid, and you know, and I'm part of the teacher situation. I do see what you're saying. You know, I think it was a situation where it had been going on for a while, and
mm-hmm.
I think the teacher finally might have reached her boiling point, especially if it's something that has escalated. Because that's the unfortunate
right.
thing about, you know, cell phone footage. We're just catching the middle,
mm-hmm.
you know, but
that's
we don't
true.
Know what happened 10 minutes before that, and
right.
we don't know what happened after that. You know, so that
right.
that's the crazy part. But I think. With my response and how a lot of people did agree, is people are just frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are tired of these disrespectful kids.
Mm-hmm.
These kids out here, they can do whatever. And then, like I said, what pissed me off on the video, not even so much the student going against the teacher, because kids are going to be kids.
Right.
Kids are going to make mistakes. Kids are going to be stupid. But for the grandmother and the mother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To have no shame and sit there on the news and say, well, the teacher should have did this and she should have, you know, called somebody, but in the same sentence not chastise their daughter and granddaughter for her actions.
Right.
You know, that's what bothered me the most, because
mm-hmm.
if the grandmother and the mother can say that and not give her any type of discipline or let her know where she was wrong, then we already see where the problem is.
Right. I totally agree.
It's in the home.
I totally agree. To me, for a child to behave that way, cause just knowing how I came up, it was extremely important. I think traditionally in Black community, especially when it comes to older people, I mean, it's like a religious thing. You do not
right.
respect adults. Like,
right.
you don't get in grown folks' conversation. You know, just all kinds of things like that was ingrained into me. Now, my mother wasn't a, you know, seen and not heard kind of person, but she did teach me the boundaries, like where you end and where I begin. You're a child.
Right.
I'm an adult. You know,
right.
you don't step toe-to-toe to me. You can question me. You can ask me questions, but you're not on my level. And so for me, for that girl to act like she did, it's clear that she's definitely been showing her ass at the house. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
There's no
and she
question.
Runs a household. You know, in that
right.
sense, what the problem is, a lot of parents nowadays want to be their kids' friends. And
right.
like I said, there's nothing wrong with having a cool relationship with your kid, but
right.
then you can't get mad when your child doesn't know how to turn it off. Because I have somebody that I know, she had her child at, what, 17, 18? So, you know, her child is now 19. So she's now in her, you know, late 30s, so probably like 37, 36, 37, something like that. Well, her daughter wants to go clubbing with her. And she allowed her daughter to go clubbing with her, okay? And you figure, okay, well, I guess that's kind of cool. You know, her mom can kind of keep an eye on her. She's like, well, yeah, sometimes I let her sip my drink. Well, your
oh.
daughter's not 21. Yeah, but I'm with her. And she's like, but now I think she's getting comfortable because last time I bought a drink, she damn near drank my whole drink. But you started the ball rolling. You
right.
allowed her to take a couple sips. So now she thinks it's okay to just, you know, guzzle the glass. You know, and so she said the other night she was trying to go to a club and she had her dress ready and she told her daughter, you know, I'm going with my friends. I don't want to go with you to the club. You go do you. I'm going to do me. She said she gets to the club. Guess who comes up there an hour later? Her daughter comes walking in the club. And I said, well, how did she get into the club? If the club is 21 and up, oh, she must have used my old ID. Okay, now y'all are doing too much.
Uh-huh.
And that's my point. Parents want to be friends with their kids, but then, you know, once it starts to spiral out of control, now they're mad. So
right.
you let her use your ID one time, and then now she goes and takes without your permission, and she's in the same club you're in. That's 25 and up. She's 19. So now you got to keep an eye on her and make sure she don't leave with no grown man. You know, it's like, why would you even introduce her to that lifestyle? She has the rest of her life to go clubbing.
Right.
But, again, you have a lot of young parents trying to be hip and cool. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with going to the club with your parents. If your mom is hip and your mom is young like that, that's cool. But I think the whole extra stuff, you know, drinking with your child and, you know, giving your child fake IDs to go in, I can't co-sign with that. And it's like she's so upset that now her daughter, she feels like her daughter's taking advantage, but you started the ball rolling.
Right.
You know, kids are going to only do what you allow them to do.
That's something that I've noticed, like, over the years. When we were little, girls, you know, they wore frilly dresses, they wore jellies, they wore cute little kid clothes. Now kids' clothing is like mini adult
itty bitty.
Right, halter top.
Right.
you know what I'm saying, and sexy type of clothes. And, you know, I remember asking my mom, like, when I could wear heels. Like, I was my mom's size, you know. I had, you know, I had to hit puberty before I could wear heels. You know what I'm saying? It's just there were certain things that you could you were expected to graduate to once you hit a certain level of maturity. Now, little girls are wearing Daisy Dukes. And to me, it's like a setup for pedophilia. That's just, I mean, that's my opinion.
It makes sense.
But
yeah, because you go on some of those aisles and it's like you see like the baby fat shorts. And I'm like, when I was a kid, our shorts stopped at our knees.
Right.
Why are these shorts stopping at their butt? I don't wear Daisy Dukes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you see 7-year-olds with shorts literally at their butt, and then the top is, like, tied in the middle, almost like a halter top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, why are they dressed like mini adults? It's creepy.
It is.
But you're absolutely right.
It's like we don't protect children's youth enough, and kids are maturing way too fast. They're maturing sexually, but not mentally. You know, it's like
they're not
emotionally mature, but they're extremely sexually advanced. And they just feel like, you know, today they seem like they don't have a sense of authority. I think that's why you're seeing a lot of issues with how we approach the law, how we treat each other out in public, how we act. Because when it comes to authority and just how to carry yourself, that's just one thing that just seems to really be missing, you know.
Right.
And that's what parents are supposed to do. But now your kid acts up in school. And I understand my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law were teachers. And I remember how much they used to complain about how they've had to deal with disrespectful students. And their ages are getting younger and younger. Well, they'll challenge you in ways that, you know, you just wouldn't expect. And you're kind of on your own. And your hands are tied. And, you know, honestly, you know, as a teacher, it's kind of like you're scared because you can be more victimized by a student than, you know, they can be victimized by you. You know, it's like your hands are really tied. Now in the South, I know now kids can still get paddled, like in many states in the South, you know.
Oh, yes. I'm from Arkansas. Trust me. I got paddled very, very much.
You know, in Alabama, now when I was in high school, I graduated in 2001, but when I was in Alabama, they could still paddle. Now, the South is still extremely traditional, you know, but I think in many cases, teachers are really on their own, and they don't have the support of parents, because there was a day where you could say, I'm calling your mother, and that's all the child needs to hear. Call my mama. And then that ghetto-ass mom come up to the school and cuss out the teacher.
Right, ready to fight you.
Right. So, yeah, it's a mess.
Yes, it's a lot of stuff. We're definitely going to, you know, talk more about this topic, you know, even more next week. We can definitely extend on the topic. So I think we've gone about 20 minutes into this show, but I really wanted to get your point. You know, because unfortunately, all the technical issues we were having tonight was just plain ridiculous. But I'm glad you did call in, and you made a lot of really good points as well. So we'll definitely do that. So we'll be back next Wednesday at the same time. And then I also wanted to talk, because I know we had talked before, because you and your husband had, like, the gun licenses and stuff like that.
Yes.
I also wanted to just kind of talk about, you know, what you think with all these new gun reforms that are going to be coming up from the Boston shooting. Because I feel like that had a lot to do with it. But, again, that's if they allow us to do our show and we don't get, you know, disconnected.
Right.
Every 30 minutes. You know, it's insane. I don't know what's going on, but it seems like whenever we talk about anything deep, it's a wrap.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, you know.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
So I will definitely see you guys next week. I had to edit like 2 more videos and get them up tonight. So you guys stay tuned to that. But thank you so much for you and Janae calling into the show. We had definitely had a good time tonight, even with the technical issues.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too.
All right.
Bye, y'all.
All right,
bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.